Two tech tycoons are raising money to fight smoking overseas. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Media entrepreneur and former mayor of New York, Michael Bloomberg, is teaming up with fellow billionaire Bill Gates to help low- and middle-income countries fight legal challenges from tobacco companies. Bloomberg has already been helping Uruguay after Philip Morris International challenged its laws requiring graphic health warnings on tobacco. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has been looking into this. These legal challenges are about what?
Trade, if you ask the tobacco companies, public health, if you ask Bloomberg and Gates. But to back up, in recent years, we've seen countries like Uruguay and Australia pass laws meant to curb smoking, including regulations on how tobacco products can be packaged. Uruguay went with graphic warning labels, Australia with plain packaging stripped of fancy branding. Tobacco companies argue these kinds of restrictions violate international trade agreements and World Trade Organization rules. And so they've brought legal cases against these countries. Cases also look likely in Ireland and the UK.
So what are Bloomberg and Gates actually proposing here?
They're worried that lower-income countries won't have enough resources to fight these cases on their own. So they've created a $4 million fund to help. The fund is also meant to help draft new legislation in such a way as to avoid future challenges or disputes and create a legal network with experience in trade litigation that these countries can draw on.
Wait a minute, $4 million for large international legal cases? $4 million?
It does sound small, but the billionaires are hoping that other donors will contribute as well. And Bloomberg said the money is just a start. His Bloomberg Philanthropies has spent $600 million, working on anti-smoking issues since 2007.
All right. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson. Thank you. Now, in the last hour, the National Urban League released its annual report on inequality. Among the findings, economic recovery is bypassing some Americans. The report finds that in 33 major U.S. cities, the unemployment rate for black Americans exceeds 15%. But there's also more positive news. The report says the Affordable Care Act has reduced health care inequality. And for the first time, it includes a state-by-state look at education. The findings in some areas are grim. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
It was just 3 days ago that President Obama touted some good news from the Education Department.
We're seeing improved reading scores, improved math scores, improved graduation rates.
Those improvements were across the board, including for black and Latino students.
It's a tale of two stories.
Mark Morial, president of the National Urban League, says not so fast. If you look city by city, he says, there's a wide gap in school proficiency scores between white and black and Latino children. And he says the problem is most pronounced in major urban areas.
Our schools are more racially segregated. They're also more segregated by income than they've ever been.
All of this has broader implications, says Brookings Institution researcher Richard Reeves.
And the test scores that you can see in adolescence are a big predictor of upward and downward mobility by race.
Reeves says 70% of middle-income black children will fall backwards on the economic ladder later in life. Education inequality, he says, is a big reason why. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Today, Apple joins an elite club that only admits 30 members. It's now part of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Out is ticker symbol T for telephone, that is to say AT&T. How can they just do that, swap one company for another? Well, the Dow is not a law of physics. It is a human construct with a host of peculiarities that are sometimes misunderstood. Here to help is Washington Post columnist Alan Sloan. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, David.
You know, I was just thinking, a lot of us have investments tied to an index, the S&P 500 index. That's common. Who the heck has investments tied to the Dow Jones Industrial Average? Does anybody?
Almost nobody. The people who run the S&P and Dow index told me that at the end of, I think, 2013, there was $33 billion tied to the Dow and $2 trillion tied to the S&P. So I've decided that that's barely a rounding error.
Now, what is it with the Dow, though, that would not lend itself to people looking to tie themselves to an index?
Well, it's random. The S&P is based on the stock market value of all of the companies. the Dow is based on the stock market price of the companies. And the example I always use is you have GE with a little over 10 billion shares. You have Travelers Insurance with something like 331 million. So if GE goes up a buck and Travelers goes down a buck, there's $9.7 billion more value in the S&P, but it's a total wash for the Dow.
They're not really contemplating changing the Dow, though. The Dow has its traditions, and it is what it is.
Why should they? It's the big name brand thing. There already is an S&P, and now the indexes are owned by a joint venture of S&P and Dow Jones and some other who knows who. So they don't really compete head-to-head. They complement each other now.
You know what we need? We need the Brancaccio-Sloan Daily Index. That would bring some branding power to bear on this issue.
Right, especially when we use the initials.
This guy is fast. Alan Sloan, columnist for The Washington Post. Thank you very much.
My pleasure to be here, David.
More reporting on yesterday's Fed decision, plus a retrospective look at one of the great art heists of all time, is at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.